Brian.
Rana.
I'm so excited to announce to our fabulous listeners, viewers, readers, whatever you want to call them.
Sure.
Carriage House Sweetheart, Cynthia Dupree Sweeney's fabulous, fabulous book, Good Company, is now out in paperback. People can go to bookshop.org or there's a link on our bio to get it.
Correct. Instant bestseller, perfect read for all of your spring and summer beach read, house read, lawn read, any
and
kind of reads.
Quick read because
quick,
it's page such
turning.
A page turner. We loved, this book.
Loved, loved.
And we did an episode with her when the book came out in hardcover. So if people want to go back and hear that, they can hear us talk about the book. But it is so fabulous. And I went to an event with her last night and I was reminded, a fresh reminder of how incredible the book was. And I can't wait to read it again. So
fabulous.
Order the book. But more importantly, she's going on a book tour. So
yes,
we thought
she
we
certainly
would share
is.
With our people where they can see her in person.
April 5th, she's going to be in St. Louis at the St. Louis County Library. Go see her. April
fabulous.
8th, she'll be in Miami at Books and Books in Coral Gables.
Fabulous.
April 11th, she'll be in D.C. at Politics and Prose. New York City's on April 13th, where she'll be at the Greenlight Bookstore in Fort Greene.
Oh, Kate Steinberg's going. She already messaged Cynthia on Instagram
to
say so. And Cynthia said it was okay, Kate, come. She wouldn't call the police.
On April 24th, she's going to be at the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books, which is fabulous. And she's also going to be a faculty member at a writer's retreat in Iceland on April 27th.
I can't
My
handle
goodness,
it.
Are you kidding me? You can also go to Cynthia-Sweeney to see her list of events. I encourage you to. Go. The book is brilliant. She'll probably sign it for you. Is she signing them, Rana? I don't know how it is in COVID. Yeah, perfect. So there you go.
Fabulous. Okay, I'm starting immediately because there's a couple of crazy things that are going to happen today.
Yeah.
We plan to have Kate Arthur on. Okay.
Kate Arthur, editor at large of Variety, excuse me. One of the most esteemed publications on H-Wood in the world. Yeah.
I mean, still a journalist as far as I know.
Yeah. Did Hedda Hopper write for Variety or was she just some other gossip columnist? I don't know.
She was in newspapers. I listened to that podcast and now I can't remember the thing.
And Luella Parsons, same thing. They were like just in rags.
Syndicated. Yeah.
Yeah. I see. Okay.
I don't really have time for that, Brian.
I know, Rana. I'm sorry.
Because I have a lot that I have to get into. Here's what I don't want to hear. All the people who are saying right now, Rana didn't do an Oscar show this year. But. Okay. Skip it.
Wow.
Zip it and skip it.
Wow.
I want to hear about
Rana, you're coming in today.
I'll be back next year, hotter than ever with the Oscars. We'll have Madam, we'll have Kate, we'll have Brian, we'll have the whole thing, okay?
Got that
That's
billing
it.
There.
Zip it and quit it, and I don't care. And now, I'm glad we didn't do it, because no one cares about what happened with the movies. I would have wasted all that time watching 17 movies and learning American Sign Language or whatever it is. And no one would have cared. It would have been for nothing, because the only thing anyone wants to talk about is the absolutely appalling display. Item number two, we said, let's have Kate as a compromise to ourselves. Let's have Kate Arthur on the week after the Oscars. We've been wanting to have her on to do a straight up advice show, but we said, we'll have her on. We'll do a little Oscar chit chat, chala, chuffa.
I don't know what
that is. Chala means chat in Spanish.
Oh.
And we said, we'll have a little chit-chat, but we'll get straight to the advice. Well, I've got bad news for Kate. We're going to get to the advice, but no one thought a thing. And by the way, that's the way it was headed on that broadcast. Snooze, Phil, USA. And then this. And so here we are. This is 2 days post.
Rana, you're not speaking for all of us here, just so you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. You like Beyonce's tennis ball number. I apologize. Everyone was dressed as a tennis ball.
I did like it.
Yeah.
No, yeah, we've got a lot. And I got to tell you, this is what I'm going to be honest about.
And I'm drinking out of my gorgeous ceramic deli, New York deli cup.
Where'd you get that, Rana? Who gave that to you?
For my birthday. Look at that. Is that gorgeous?
Wonderful.
Now, I'll tell you something. It really holds the heat nicely.
Doesn't it? It's nice. And it's a, I like that it's not too big.
Nice size, too. Yeah. Yeah.
All I was going to say was I am actually curious and a little bit talking about the movies because I'm sort of over that other stuff. I feel like I'm just tired of talking about it. We can and we will. But like, I'm also a little bit curious about the movies.
Kate, where do you want to start, dear?
Oh my God. I don't even know. I thought the beginning of the show was very good.
I did too.
And I thought the stand-up that they did at the beginning was great. I have to say,
I thought the jokes were good. They did good writing. It was fun. Schumer was better than I'd like to admit.
Absolutely.
I think she was like really thoughtful about, like, I didn't know anyone needed a break from her, but she did sort of seem to take a break. And like, it was just so fun to see her. I thought she was fantastic.
Same. And it's funny because, I mean, we're skipping way ahead, but the fact that she had to issue a clarification the day after the awards that, that Kirsten Dunst was in on the bit.
Where are we?
What is this world?
I also thought that was very funny that she said to her, okay, sweetheart, you can go to the bathroom now.
The seat filler. I actually thought
it was his fault. He didn't sell the joke very well.
Did he reveal that they've secretly gotten married? That's what my timeline was talking about.
I thought I sort of assumed they were married, but he did refer to his as his wife a couple of times.
Yep.
But where are we? Let's go through the timeline where we are up to the minute right now of the slap heard around the world.
Yes. Yeah.
Then everyone pretending nothing happened.
Yep.
Pretending a little, but no one came up. I couldn't believe no one came up and said, are we all just going to pretend that didn't happen?
Because honestly, Rana, we were all slapped. Like, it was like everyone in that audience was shocking. Slapped across the face when that happened. It was
well,
so
and also by
shocking.
The nicest guy in Hollywood.
Right.
The nicest guy in Hollywood. That was who did it, you know. Yeah. And also, I mean, we'll get into all of that in a moment. But then he goes to the Oscars parties. Everyone takes a picture with him, et cetera, et cetera. Then he finally issues a statement. Has Chris Rock issued a statement yet?
Not yet.
This writing?
No, not yet. He's doing he's starting his stand-up tour tomorrow. I mean, by the time people hear this, it will have been last week. Uh-huh. Tomorrow in Boston. You guys could go.
That's true, Rana. Do you want to go? I actually don't want to go. Do you want to go?
You know what? I'm a Chris Rock fan from long ago.
Yeah, but the key distinction there is long ago.
Long ago. Long ago.
From long ago.
He's brilliant. Was brilliant. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is now.
No.
I would go to give him a hug.
Sure.
I think he's okay.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kate. I don't know that I'm the fan.
He's okay, but I have to say, all these people that are saying, oh, it was stage, it was this, it was that. Chris Rock, after that happened, was absolutely fumbling through I actually think he deserves a lot of credit for keeping his composure.
I would have literally started crying. Like, no joke.
Obviously,
I would have just,
he wanted to.
Yeah.
And he was stunned. And he still had to just sort of be classy about it and read whatever he needed to read and keep it going. But that was astonishing. What are people in your circle saying, Kate?
Well, it's just, it's funny because I don't know if people know what Slack is, but it's a chat software and that lots of companies use. And so the way the broadcast was so confusing because the angle on the actual physical act of it was weird. Mm-hmm. And then it just went to that blip of the screen of the placeholder image. And so we were all, it's funny, someone took a screenshot of in Slack of our immediate, reactions. And it was all like, everyone being like, what's happening?
Yeah.
What's going on? Why is it quiet? And so I'm saving that for whenever my memoir comes out, never.
Yeah.
But it's just so. And then
but you watched the Australian clip. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Posted by my, you know, my former BuzzFeed colleague, David Mack.
Okay.
And so, then the people who at Variety who were in the audience came into the Slack and they were like, Will Smith slapped Chris Rock.
Oh, you got
and then sat back down and said, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth twice. And so we were like, what? And so this, you know, this guy, Zach Scharf, immediately started writing something to post about it. And then all the tweets from Australia, Japan, also it wasn't bleeped, started coming in and people reacting to it. But it was just, I mean, that was like, I mean, I thought Envelope Gate was crazy, but this right. is like, oh my God. I mean,
Faye Dunaway vindicated.
Exactly.
How it should exactly. have always
no
been.
One will remember. But, exactly. But yeah, no, it's just the most, there are just so many layers to it. But I was texting with an Academy member yesterday, and she was saying that from where she was in the orchestra, she couldn't tell what had happened and also thought it was a bit or wondered whether it was a bit.
Sure.
So not everyone there.
Right. But it's a bit until Will Smith says, goes back to his seat
right.
and says what he said.
Yeah. I think it was a bit until he, you know, ran up on stage and hit him, you know? Yeah. So,
but I mean, for the people that were thinking, oh, was that a bit?
Right.
Was it clearly was not a bit 12 seconds afterwards
yes,
when he returned
right.
to his chair
right.
and basically said, you know, and what about it? Does anyone know what was happening in the, in between? I've seen a few pictures here and there of Bradley Cooper and Denzel trying to calm him down and Chris coming to the edge of the stage and perhaps saying, hey man,
yeah.
you know, I didn't know or whatever it was. But yeah. I also love that all of this hinges on anyone caring about Jada Pinkett's Instagram or Red Table Talk.
Oh, but except first
that.
Of all, I care about the Red Table
yeah,
Talk.
Yeah, I know.
Same.
Secondly, what you can't dismiss is that Chris Rock has a thing with Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yes,
he
does.
Knew. There's no doubt in my mind he knew she had alopecia. I don't know if she turned him down at some point in the past. I don't know what, but there is no way he didn't know that. I mean, I guess I can't say it for a fact because I'm not Chris Rock. Not only was it a tasteless joke, it was stupid. It was dated. It made him seem old. All right. of it. And it was mean. Why? And by the way,
he acknowledged that though in the moment he said over a G.I. Jane joke.
Yeah. But also the first joke was stupid about Penelope Cruz and Javier Bardem where she was like, if he wins and she doesn't, she's going to be really mad at you tonight.
Bill Maher
like, it's just like, it's like misogynist, weird, like move on. You're fresher than that. You know
but
what I mean? Like that's been the great thing about
you. In fairness,
and this was
Regina
just
Hall
like, you were just making
a Will
fun
Smith
of
joke
women
too.
Two times in a row, you know, like it was just,
but
dumb.
Regina Hall did the same thing.
It's different, Rana.
It's different for her to make the joke about their open marriage. Honestly, I think it had been building and building and building. Yeah. And then there is this moment where Chris Rock has this history with her or whatever. He's made fun of her in the past. And somebody else, Howard Stern said, if it was Jason Momoa, or Momoa, however you say that, Will Smith would not have stood up and come after him. It was
right.
because it was twerpy little Chris Rock that he thought he could go up there and he could punch him in the face. That basically, if it was The Rock who made the joke, which probably he would never would have, but that Will Smith would have. But also, I rewound and Will Smith laughs at the joke. And then he turns to her
and they have a
Manchurian Candidate moment. Yes. What I can only describe as a Manchurian Candidate moment.
Eye roll. I've ever seen.
Where she basically looks to him to say, are you going to do something about this? What? Not quite that much, but she basically lets him know about her displeasure. Fair enough. But the fact that they then go to parties, that security does not even lead him out of the auditorium to say, let's cool off. But that doesn't even happen. Yeah. People are in and out of the auditorium all the time, going to the bar, doing whatever they're doing.
I think, honestly, like, no, how would anyone have known what to do? Truly. Right. Like, I don't know. Yes,
there's not a right way to handle it.
Exactly. Because it's so, it really was so shocking.
And he's nominated for Best Actor.
And well, about to win.
And it was a lock
of the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, the difference, I think, with what Regina Hall said was she was talking about the relationship. She wasn't, I think it is, we are just so past the point of a man standing on stage and insulting making fun of how appearance. A woman looks.
Yeah, I think that's it's fair.
Absolutely atrocious and disgusting. Listen, I think it was a terrible joke with a terrible response. You know, I don't think anything clean happened in that moment. And it's very difficult to gauge, like, what the on the Academy's behalf of what the right thing to do was. Who knows? I do agree that it was a very odd thing to see all these pictures of Will Smith partying and doing all of this. And also, I think, listen, I think when you're looking at something like the behemoth that is Hollywood, who's more powerful, Will Smith or Chris Rock? Will Smith.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of why you saw the support for him.
But if you're going to hold Chris Rock to account for his comment about the wife's appearance, which I think is completely fair, Will Smith needs to be held to account.
I agree.
Not just for his behavior, for what he then says in his speech, which is basically, ooh, it just got me so mad. It's okay to go punch someone in the face, which is classic abusing nonsense.
Yeah.
Right.
And to me, though, the thing that is astonishing to me and will have no conclusion and there will be no recompense and nothing will happen is I watched Will Smith give that speech and I thought to myself immediately, I'm worried this guy's going to kill himself.
Yeah.
He is a completely unraveled human being. There is
You should read Baratunde Thurston wrote a great article about this and about Will Smith's history of like his father was very physically abusive to his mother. And Will Smith has talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
And Baratunde Thurston wrote a great article about like, just like the pattern of this, the history of this and about Will Smith.
Well, I've heard people saying that he never stood up for his mother. Maybe this is, you know, that he was silent with his mother and that this was a thing. But I really don't think that's what this is. I think this is about cuckoldry on some level. I think this is about his masculinity. And I think it is about the fact that that is something that has been called into question on a lot of different levels. But by no one more than by his wife. Mm-hmm. And that there was this moment where she was sort of, again, not putting on her. It's more about how it might have been received by him as opposed to what she was asking of him. But the room, we can excuse Regina Hall, but he had already been the butt of several jokes that night.
Which is what he said in his apology, that it's part of the job.
And Regina Hall's joke was actually funny.
But the point is people were calling attention to his personal life. The reason that people are calling attention to his personal life is because his wife is constantly calling attention to his personal life.
Right.
She is the number one person who is putting his business out into the world. And then that becomes fodder. And that is part
Both of them do too. I mean, in his press tour for his book last fall, I was like, I don't need to know another thing about Will Smith's sex life. I really don't. Zip it, you know.
Yeah, I think you mean about Will Smith's version of his sex life, though. Also,
right, that's right.
And
that's
so
right. That's right.
To me, that speech, you know, this is one of those things where you think, why didn't he blank? And the answer is, he's not capable of that. He is a person who is absolutely, he's a puddle of a person. That was a deeply wounded, not together person. That was not just, and I'm sure he felt a lot of shame about getting to this pinnacle of moment in his career and how he had somehow sabotaged it. And this Denzel quote, which was so interesting, about the devil comes for you when you're at your highest point, you know, and the devil, of course, being our demons, not, you know, I mean, maybe he means the guy in the red
suit. And if I'm being honest, and I thought this before, Denzel, who should have won, that performance was absolutely incredible, is my opinion. Kate disagrees.
No, it
was insane. And I wondered, but also Will Smith had been out in the wilderness for a while. I mean, everybody talks about how powerful Will Smith is. Will Smith was powerful. And this moment, and look, he's worth $300 million or whatever he's worth. So I really don't need the thing about how hard it is for people to talk about you. Go live in hidden hells and stop writing books about yourself then.
Right.
If you don't want people to talk about your personal life. But this was supposed to be his moment where he came, you know, this goes back to 6 degrees of separation. Was that the movie where he wouldn't kiss another man?
Yes.
Yes.
This goes back to that. I mean, that's this and this together. He thought he was going to win an Oscar for this. Here he is now, and he's still haunted by whatever this masculinity issue is that he has. And it was astonishing. Astonishing.
Sure was. We
spent the whole last 2 years talking about men who abuse women and how people have to treat people's bodies and respect people and da 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 da. And this guy who's supposed to be the nicest guy in the world punches someone in the face. I thought it was atrocious, and it made me worry for comedians.
Kate, weigh in.
I just think, without knowing anything, that if this is what you are going to do in an audience of hundreds of your peers in front of millions of viewers, what are you doing privately?
Right.
Whether that's in your house, on set, how are you treating people? And I'm not going to diagnose him, but that speech was also very deliberately did not apologize to the Academy and his fellow nominees, did not apologize to Chris Rock. That was very strange to me. He could have just gotten that part over with.
Totally.
Chose not to. But you know, I just think, this is going to affect the rest of his career.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that I didn't email the Red Table Talk publicist yesterday and said, is Will going to come to the Red Table soon? Like, you
honestly
are wrong. But yes, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. He's supposed to, you know, there's a huge movie that's like Apple's first massive budget.
Oh,
movie.
Yes. What's on the horizon for him at the moment that's supposed to be on the horizon?
Yeah, that's supposed to be, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's supposed to be an Oscar contender for the coming cycle. But
it's already been shot.
I think so.
And do you know who directed it?
Oh, damn it.
I'm just curious.
Did you see that movie Master with Regina Hall? It looks interesting.
Yes, I did.
How was it? No.
She's okay. Googling.
That's fair.
It's an Antoine Fuqua Apple movie.
And it's already been shot.
That has been shot. Yeah.
I
didn't love Master, Brian. Okay. But it got great reviews, and there are some very interesting themes in it, and it's free on Amazon. So why not?
Yeah. Why not?
I just want to say that one little thing about what you were saying, which is that he could have given his same speech. He could have come up and he could have said, I just want to say, I'm not proud of that moment. And you know, that's something I'm going to talk about with my family, whatever people say. And, you know, and I'm sorry to Chris, and I'm sorry to the Academy. I'm sorry to my fellow nominees. This means so much to me because ABC, Richard Williams, blah, 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 whatever this crazy speech was he gave. What about all of this, what God has called him to do at this moment in his life? I mean, this, I hate to say it, but this was a total Scientology's egg scramble. This was, it scrambles your brain. And you don't make any sense. And I was looking at a person who had lost themselves and lost their identity. And so I don't think he even knows who he is anymore. I feel like he is this vessel that other things are filling up. And it's all, and also the life is so insular, you know, with the family and the, you know, who does he even talk to probably?
Right. Of course.
But I don't think he was even capable of that moment of awareness, reflection. She would have said to him, you better apologize.
Truly, the most upsetting thing to me about the entire night was that that night at one of the parties, they played Gettin' Jiggy with it, and he sang along and danced to it. That, to me, is like the wildest part of this.
That, apparently, all of his songs were being played at that party.
So weird. What
was there the was party? Which party?
It was the Vanity Fair. It was tasteless. Like summertime, and you know,
how I mean, tasteless.
it was my colleague and friend and editor Ramin Satuta's tweet of him dancing to Gettin' Jiggy with it.
I think that speaks volumes about who you are. You know, like that is
what,
so
other people
wild.
Was it like a bar mitzvah? Were other people on the edges?
Also inexplicably a person with a digital camera from 2002 in the. Behind, you know, I was like, what's that guy's story?
I know, I didn't think they could even do that at that party.
I mean, I would have just gone home, but that's always my instinct. So,
I don't know who wrote the thing. Somebody wrote a thing about Harvey Weinstein. I can't remember who. And they said, everybody said they didn't know what Harvey Weinstein was doing and that they all said, I never knew, and it was happening all around me, and I take responsibility, and da 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 da. And here's a guy that punches a guy in the face.
Yeah.
And everybody's dancing to Summertime. I mean, it's just sort of, I just can't believe, I mean, Amy Schumer honestly was the only person who said, oh, did something happen?
Yeah, yeah, she, that was, you really, know, which she handled was, that so funny.
You know, but it was
sort of. The room feels different. Like, yeah. What happened?
It oh, it must moment. Have been ice cold in there after that.
Right. I mean, the other thing anyway. Is just that, like, so, you know, we published a story about his publicist in the commercial breaks in between the slap, which I'm glad that show is getting a resurgence.
Me too, because they were right all along.
And Irene from The Real World Seattle.
Yes, I saw that. What was the guy's name?
It gets better.
Oh my God. Steven. You're homosexual, when he slapped her. Steven.
Yes.
So amazing. So
funny.
So, yeah, but it's just a funny, anyway, so his publicist was coming up to him during commercial breaks and counseling him, probably working on the speech. But what I wish is
that's also a person that just hit someone, though. He's sort of like, do you want to go talk to him?
Right. I mean, poor her, you know, but what I wish is that when he compared his behavior to Richard Williams' behavior, that we could have gotten a shot on Venus and Serena, who've been subjected to the worst Oscars season of all time between this and the Jane Campion thing.
What about Jane Campion? I hate to say, I mean, look, Kevin Costner's Kevin Costner, but there he is standing up there like a Ralph Lauren ad. And he gave a pretty good speech for whatever it was that he was, you know, it was sort of in the beginning, you thought, wow, this is going on a while. And then you thought, you know what? Okay. He rooted it in a little Western gravitas, whatever. And for her to say, thank you, Kevin, that was very dramatic or whatever. You know, you just thought,
she's really bombed every speech she's
absolutely.
Given.
After the backlash. Oh, yeah, Venus, I did think Venus looked terrific.
I thought they both did. Yeah.
Apparently, Serena, by the way, this always, is a thing that I'm not sure of the details of, but literally as the Chris Rock joke was happening, apparently Venus had a wardrobe malfunction at that very moment. And so that's why the camera got weird. One of the reasons, and then it got weirder, but yeah, I mean,
where is Richard Williams? That may seem,
he said that he didn't support Will Smith for hitting Chris Rock. He's
but where was
statement.
He in all of this in the movie? And that they do they not have a relationship with any anymore? What's the?
I think they do. I thought.
I mean, it just seems confusing to me that there's all this talk about him and there's no Richard Williams.
By the way, I will say that movie seemed like it might be kind of hokey, and maybe it was. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it.
I liked it.
Yeah,
anyway. It's like an HBO movie,
exactly.
From, you know.
What else do we have to talk about? But this
were there
is,
any surprises?
It's
for
leaving
you,
me. It's infuriating me because I don't even have time to talk about how much I couldn't stand Jessica Chastain's speech.
Oh, well, you always have a problem with her.
I don't like her. You know that.
I know. She's so good in that movie. I mean, that category, especially this year, was just drag queens. You know what I mean? Like, just from Nicole Kidman to Jessica Chastain to putting on all these wild performances. I don't know that she would have been my pick to win, but that was a really fun movie and she was phenomenal in it.
I just went into a fugue state after the slap because I just, and weirdly, like I felt so sorry for Questlove, like, you know, and
wasn't that awful
in the In Memoriam segment. Yeah. I mean, my God, like people, you know, I mean, this
is Questlove and he was so rattled by it.
Anyone who won after, the only thing that woke me up weirdly was the producers of Coda droning on and on during the Best Picture speech. Cause I was like, this is why Best Picture can be really a flawed situation.
What did you think of Coda winning?
Never heard of.
I will say Coda is like one of the only movies I didn't see for no particular reason. Oh, I just haven't seen it.
It's lovely. You would love it.
Okay, good.
It's just
so you're happy with that win.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's just, it was a big surprise. I didn't think there was like a huge front runner this year. Mm-hmm. I guess of those movies, Coda is my favorite. You know, it's like, it was like a perfectly fine crop of movies. There wasn't something I hated and was rooting against, but but it's a very sweet movie and it, you know, the performances are great. And I wept during Troy Kotsur's he was incredible in that movie. And, you know, it's just a sweet movie. And that was two Sundance movies, from 2021. Coda was the big winner that time out of Sundance. And Summer of Soul was the big documentary out of that. And both went for like record breaking prices. But it is funny. You can't underestimate how much people, voters apparently hate Netflix and will just not allow them to win Best Picture, you know? So even when there are no movies.
Oh, you mean
with
Power of the Dog? Yeah. Wasn't that their big,
Yeah. And even when
there
are no
movies.
She
turned a lot of people off though, I think.
Well, then I have
to
say, just in terms of Oscar history, Power of the Dog was my favorite movie of the year. I knew there was no way that movie was going to win Best Picture. It just isn't that. You know what I mean? Like for the Academy to give that Best Picture, I think would have been weird.
It's a weird movie.
It is. Well, they do love a Western though.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Listen, Kate Auth is here because she wants to give advice.
She
doesn't want to do what we've been doing.
No, I know, Kate. We took full advantage of you.
We're going to do it her way, which is what we're going to do here.
Listen. Let's do it.
Now, Kate, first of all, we can't thank you enough for that. I mean, truly, that was, you know, we needed that.
I know. I feel like we all needed to work this out. From forgotten free trials to automatic renewals, when big companies keep charging you, Truebill is your secret weapon to save you money on subscriptions you don't need. Now, Rana, Truebill is truly Jen Shaw's nightmare.
No, this, you're not kidding.
Fully.
I mean, this is incredible. These people, you don't know how many, think about that.
Yeah.
How many free subscriptions you've signed up for, a 1 month trials or this and that. I don't know how the magic works, but these people keep track of all of it.
And
then with a click of a button, you can unsubscribe from all those things that you said to yourself, oh, I can't even think about unsubscribing from this.
Totally. The average person saves up to $720 per year with Truebill.
Get out of here.
$720 a year. That's the round trip ticket to Europe. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And get this, Rana, you're going to love this. Your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to.
So you don't even have to have the conversation. They'll have it for you.
Yeah.
Incredible.
They'll be the middleman.
That honestly, that I can't think of. That is absolutely an area of everyone's life that there's only two or three people that get off on having to have those conversations. And I don't know them.
I couldn't agree more.
I mean, this is amazing for the procrastinators and the avoiders in our audience. Oh, this is the perfect. Ones,
you just bury it down, bury it down.
No question.
Truebill has over 2 million users and helped save them over $100 million. Wow. Matthew B. said, in a matter of seconds, I saved $660 for the year on my DirecTV bill. I saved $120 for the year on my SiriusXM bill. I saved $840 a year on car insurance. I got to tell you, there's one company in particular that I'm thinking of that I cannot figure out how to cancel it. I cannot figure out for the life of me how to get off them sending me monthly body wash. So I'm hoping this will work.
You have a body wash subscription? How did you get a body? You know what? This is an ad. We can't get into this on an ad.
Don't fall for subscription scams like I did. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/AskRana. Seriously, go right now. Start saving the money. Truebill.com/AskRana. It could save you thousands of years. Truebill.com/AskRana.
Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss.
We may only get to two questions today. So, Brian, you going to read this one or what?
You know I am, Rana.
Okay.
Dear Rana, Brian, an iconic guest. No doubt about it. Variety's Kate Arthur.
Accurate, yeah.
I'm writing because I need the perspective and advice that only Brian and a woman in her prime, such as Rana, can provide.
Or Kate Arthur for that
matter. No sages need apply. Thank you very much. A little background. I'm a 26-year-old man living in Los Angeles, originally from Chicago. Okay. A couple weeks back, two of my longtime great friends from back home asked if I was interested in the idea of them flying out and us doing a road trip to the Bay Area. Sounded great, but it didn't work with my schedule. They eventually settled on the idea of going to the Bay for 5 days and staying with me in LA for two so we could all see each other.
Okay.
When planning the Bay Area part of the trip got complicated, they decided somewhat unilaterally that they would just stay with me in LA for the week. Fair enough. I was excited to see them, and I really don't mind. Here's where the story gets sort of sticky. On Friday, I woke up in a good deal of pain and got diagnosed with a strangulated hernia. Unfortunately, this requires surgery sooner rather than later. I quickly let them know that I would be very likely be in recovery during the time they were planning on visiting and wouldn't really be in a position to host. Ron and Brian, their reaction shocked me. The immediate response was, in quotes, well, IDK, I don't know. I know you didn't plan to get a hernia, but that kind of puts us in a tough position considering we leave next week.
Kind of does.
And now we don't have a guaranteed place to stay when we already rented a car, bought lights, and took time off work.
Mm.
They both expressed surprise that the surgery and recovery period would mean I wouldn't be able to host them or, in quotes, at the very least have a place to crash. I remained calm during the conversation and was honest that I was really hurt and surprised by the reaction. Oh, I could burn these friends alive. In response, I got, quote, I'm sorry I didn't react the way you'd like, followed by a laundry list of ways my surgery inconvenienced them. I'm not writing and being in the hopes of being validated or told I'm not crazy. Maybe I'm off base, but I feel pretty confident I'm not in the wrong. My question is, where do I go from here? Or should I go from here? These are dear friends who I've treasured and valued since childhood, and I'm dealing with a lot of sadness around this. Mm. Of course I understand this isn't ideal for them. You'd have to be a saint to not be a little frustrated if a vacation gets canceled last minute, but really I'm disappointed that they centered their own vacation plans and tried to project guilt on me when they know that I'm really terrified of getting my first surgery slash anesthesia and dealing with a good deal of pain in the meantime. I already expressed the reactions hurt and upset me and was met with the response I described above. Is the relationship worth salvaging? Should I reach out again in a while and explain how I feel when they've maybe calmed down a bit? Right now, I'm too stressed and angry to want to put in that effort. I'm at a loss and could really use your help, Justin. As a side note, Brian, I've been listening to you on Attitudes for years. Thank you. I remember being in high school and hearing you talk about the 2012 election. Great. I hope I said the right things. Your perspective and experiences have been absolutely foundational to me as a gay man, and I can't thank you enough for everything you've done. That's lovely. Thank you. Kate, what do you think?
Oh, my God. So has the surgery happened already, or is it coming up?
Good question. I don't think
They should come and stay with you and take care of you.
Well, of course.
There you go.
They're not going to.
I have to be.
That was not something they. No,
that wasn't one of the options.
No, that was. I mean, of course, that was the first thing you would think was, oh, well, let us come to LA and we'll stay with you and we'll take care of you. And you may still not want that, but I mean, come on, Brian. Wait, Kate, speak up here. Tell me what to think.
It's just appalling. I don't even know what to say.
I'm not gonna like what I'm gonna say. I don't like what I'm going to say.
Let's hear it.
I would have let them crash. Granted, let me say something. Until I would have let them crash, except for how they responded.
Yes, of course.
Because if they had said, oh, that's awful, we're already committed to the trip. Do you think we could just crash there? We'll take care of you. I promise we won't bother you. Like, because these are people in their 20s. And what I mean by that is they did prepay for the rental car. You know what I mean? Like, most everything's cancelable now, but these people didn't do it that way. You know, like, they did it to where the cheapest rate was the one you buy ahead of time.
Yeah.
And that money is a lot to them. And even road trips are very important to people like that. I think, if it were me, and I'm not saying this is right, if it were me, I would have said, you can stay here. You just have to be completely self-sufficient.
Yes, but
I'm not saying that's the right thing to do.
No, I understand. I don't think it would have been crazy to have them stay. And also, you could still stay here, but does one of you mind, walking me to the bathroom if I need help.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the thing. By the way, it's a hernia surgery. Probably the recovery isn't quite that bad, but what it is probably some painkillers and you're in bed for a few days and you can't lift things and, you know, that sort of thing.
And also these people are in their 20s to where it would have to be like, and there's not, you just can't party here, guys. Like, it just can't be that vibe.
But their initial reaction was, I mean, I know you didn't plan this, but it's really ruining our vacation.
Yeah, the reactions were.
These are not people that have any sympathy or compassion for this person whatsoever. That's the fundamental issue. Yeah. I agree. You're in your 20s. People do all kinds of dumb things in their 20s. Probably you would let somebody come stay with you. And then you'd look back on it when you were 40 and you would
totally
say, I let somebody stay in my apartment when I had major abdominal surgery or whatever. You know, it would have been a mess, but that's what people do. But they didn't even say, OMG, are you okay?
Right.
They don't care. You ruined their vacation. That's what they care about. Wow.
It's awful. It's awful.
And they're old friends. These aren't college friends or something who, you know, you're just partying friends or something like that. And you could sort of understand that they weren't great about it. These are old friends.
I will say people really show you who they are when you're sick. And, you know, and not that you necessarily need their help or, want to ask for their help, but, as someone who survived cancer so far, I will say that the people who in my life who were really, really there for me, I value on a different level than I did before. And the people who weren't, aren't really in my life anymore. And,
and what was the distinction? Just people who really showed up for
just
you?
Like, you know, having, you know, not to make this at all about me, but like,
no,
you
I
know,
am curious.
There were just months of chemo. And, you know, we had at the time, I mean, we still have two children, but they were pretty little, you know, they were five and seven. And, you know, there were people who flew out here to help. You know, to help my wife and all of us. And to the point where at a certain point, Frederick and Wally were like, can people stop staying with us, please? Right. But, yeah. You know, they were so helpful and, you know, it was really, it meant so much to me. And, you know, tons of people just helped, you know, bringing over food and all of these things. And then there were people who just weren't there. And, mm-hmm. And some of them, you know, if people were just, would check in with me every once in a while. It's not like I was testing people, but if people were checking in on me every once in a while by text, then that was all I wanted or needed. And, and it's not like I wanted people to like spend $400 on a plane ticket and do whatever,
no, but
like,
people tell you if you're important to them.
Right. And there were people who were just really actively lame. And those are the people who I've cut out of my life. Yeah. And
people who you thought you were, you were important to or who were important to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, this is the hernia is, you know, I mean, it's, I've heard it's incredibly painful. I wish they had just said to you, we would still love to come. Yes, we prepaid and that is part of it, but we also really want to take care of you. Mm-hmm. And if you really don't want us in your house, then we totally get it. But we don't mind just being there for you. And that would have been a way that you probably, even if you didn't actually want them there, you probably would have been like, yes, please come, you know, crash at my house, you know?
Yeah.
So
they weren't even offering to get them an egg McMuffin.
Exactly.
Yeah, it really was the react because I feel like there is a way this could have worked out for everyone.
Yep.
And they really ruined it. That's a really, really nasty reaction.
And
I don't know how you perceive
it. And it's also, no, that's like a crazy thing, you know?
Of course, there's the immaturity factor. Okay, these people are in their 20s.
The baseline.
But I still feel this is insensitive on a level that, I mean, if part of your question is, you know, what moved me in your letter is where you said, I'm feeling a lot of sadness around this, which I think of course is understandable. You thought these were your good friends. They've basically said, we care more about a trip and our rental car than we do about you and your health.
Which in those moments, by the way, they did. I mean, that's the age.
Totally. They're 24, whatever. But I think part of what you're feeling is a little bit of mourning because this is the first time you're experiencing this level of disappointment and also this level of mortality, let's say, because you're so young, you know, the idea that something could not be perfect with your body is completely shocking at the age of 26.
Right.
But these people aren't really friends, the people that you used to party with, I guess, and that you thought were your friends. And that's very sad. But at least you live in a nice town and hopefully have some nice friends or a nice neighbor who brought you some.
I was going to say the bonus of this is that you don't live in the same town. Like this isn't the group. You know what I mean? You're in LA. And
that the people who care step forward.
Yeah.
Even if it is a neighbor who says, oh, I just wanted to check on you. I mean,
it's a
nice.
Tough thing. I do think in your mid to late 20s is where some people break away. I mean, just some people fall away, maybe.
Panning for gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm curious if every single person responded like this to you.
Because maybe you had the problem. Yeah.
No, because maybe someone was just like, I'll handle it. I don't know. I don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt. That reaction is awful. And what do you think they should do? Just not reach out again? Just be done?
Oh, man.
No, you know who they are. if you want to go potty with them when you're in Chicago or whatever. But I mean, certainly don't call these people if anything of import happens in your life and expect them to have time for you.
Maybe these are not the people I would talk to about. Episode so they can hear what people who are objective judges of what they did think about it.
Yep.
And good maybe idea. They'll learn something about how to behave too.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, we've said 6 or 7 times, we get that you're young and that, and we understand what your priorities are, but come on. Would your mother be proud of you for that behavior?
Yeah.
Dear Ron and Brian, an insightful guest, if applicable, emphasis on the A.
Applicable.
Okay.
Is it?
Whatever you say.
I say applicable.
I think both can be correct, right?
First, thank you for your podcast. The sage advice. You know what? It's not
funny.
She
doesn't like
it. It's not funny
anymore.
She
does not like the word
funny
sage.
It was funny for a minute. It's not funny anymore.
No.
Okay? You're going to drive me to get a facelift.
You know what? Really, the word should be wizened or vintaged.
The vintage advice. Humor and snippets about life in Marblehead have warmed my heart on the icy dark mornings that I spend outside walking my dog. As an expat from the North Shore and living in Scandinavia, listening to Rana's voice is my little cure for homesickness. Now, I want to say that I'm delighted that we finally have someone who's living in Scandinavia, because we refer to people every time
I feel
somebody
like we talk about it all the time
about their life in another country. I always say, I think they're in Scandinavia.
Well, it
and
all
then
started with
Singapore.
That one person from Denmark who was like, you're a huge hit here.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
We were on the charts. Yeah, we were on the charts.
We forgot to check the charts in the last 2 years.
The international charts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the truth is, I am in a quandary, and no matter how much time I spend ruminating in the sauna, I can't seem to find a solution. I never thought I'd be brave enough to write to you, but here we are. I met my boyfriend at work 14 years ago. We clicked instantly. On the job, we were an amazing team, and we became fast friends. Only friends. I had just been through a divorce, and he had a partner and 2 children. It did seem a little odd that she never minded our close friendship, but I assumed they were happy and figured Europeans. Through the years, we remained close. We met for coffee, tennis, even took our kids on outings together. We were part of a mutual friend group that meets often, although he and I always had a closer relationship than the others in the group. We adored each other, talked about everything, but stayed firmly in the friend zone even after his relationship ended. But then, as if life was a 90s rom-com, after my party on my 40th birthday, he kissed me. He told me he was in love with me, and we have been together since. It's been 4 years.
They've been together since?
4 years.
So he broke up with his partner.
He had already broken up with, even after his relationship ended, he still didn't tell her how he felt. Then it was her 40th birthday. Then they had a kiss. Now they've been together for 4 years.
So he was single when that happened?
Correct.
Okay, got it.
It's been 4 years, and our relationship is the easiest, safest, most fun and healthy I've ever had. There's no doubt we want to spend the rest of our lives together. Put a pin in that.
Mm-hmm.
However, I love a letter that says, I've already made up my mind. I'm spending the rest of my life with this person. However, should I spend the rest of my life with this person? However, since we both have teenage kids living at home, he has 2 and I have 1, we decided to wait to get married or move in together until they were finished at their current schools.
That's really buying some time.
They live about 30 minutes from me and my son in our cozy little town on the fjord that I would never underscore want to leave because it looks like New England and it feels like home. Our setup wasn't traditional, but it was working just fine. He had his kids every other week and the rest of the time he was often with us. Okay. It was easy. No one had to give up their lives so that he and I could be together. I thought I could be happy with the situation as it was, at least for a couple of years until the kids were done with school. So the teenagers, we're talking about 2 to 4 years here, basically.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a long time, but really isn't a very long time.
Right.
It's a long time for a teenager. It's not a long time for a parent.
Sure.
Until this summer, when suddenly his ex-wife moved across the country. The oldest son moved with her, but the 14-year-old daughter stayed here. She now lives exclusively with my boyfriend, only visiting her mother for school vacations. It's been 7 months and she's not handling things very well, understandably, the poor thing. She's not very enthusiastic about my presence either.
The ex-wife?
The 14-year-old daughter.
Oh, I see. Okay. Gosh, guys.
When I am there, she barely leaves her room, and she has developed a mysterious allergy to my dog. Oh, she hates your guts.
Yeah.
Or what you stand for. Sure. Anyway. Or she hates a mother, but she loves a mother. So she can't put that on her mother, whatever it is. The way things are right now with all of us having very busy lives, my boyfriend and I see each other approximately once a week. We do text all the time and speak daily. We plan holidays and family vacations together. We try to squeeze in lunch dates, but there is almost no space for the intimacy that I crave! Exclamation point. He seems able to deal with it better than I do. I feel my romantic feelings are starting to wane. The logistics and planning are exhausted. I feel powerless and I'm starting to get resentful. He's sick of hearing it. I really am trying to stay fulfilled in my own life. I'm even training for a marathon, but I don't know how long I can find a balance between distracting myself and keeping my feelings for him alive while also waiting for another year and a half. Talk about a marathon. Year and a half. She's 14. How does that work? Ronna and Brian, help. In the rom-com, there is always the obstacle and then the happy ending. How do we make it there? Do I demand that he and his daughter accelerate moving to us, even if that means uprooting her from her school and friends? Does my son have to leave his school and then I give up the town that I love in order to move to them? Or do I just have to accept that my needs aren't going to be fully met for a while, but it's worth holding out for and try to keep the flame alive? I truly value your wisdom and would be grateful for any advice regarding my situation. Kiss, kiss. P.S. The dog stays.
The relationship starts after happily ever after. Okay?
Yeah.
That's when the work starts.
Here we go.
You have got to make appointments with your partner to be intimate and have sex. It's too often underestimated how important intimacy is and how important having that connection is. I don't know. I have to be honest with you. I got a little lost in the woods on this question. I don't know why, but
yeah,
because there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah,
there are, because it's a lot of whose needs are most important.
Yeah.
Everyone has multiple identities in this scenario. Mm-hmm. I'm a woman, but I'm a mother. I'm a woman, but I'm a parent. He's a man and a lover, but he's a parent. Mm-hmm. There's all these, you know, Kate, what do you think?
This is a tough one. I mean, I think what you have to do, I don't think it's, first of all, I think there's hope here. I think you need to, complaining to him is not working.
No.
It's hurting the relationship. It's hurting both of you. It's annoying to both of you. Like, if he's getting annoyed, you are too, right? So I think you have to have, and you need to figure out exactly what this will be, but you have to have like a big conversation where the two of you hash this out and make a plan. And
you're,
you know,
wearing lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're not.
Oh, okay.
I think you're not. I think that's a separate thing.
Okay.
But I think that you just need you know, a thing where you say everything you want to say. He says what he wants to say. And then you just figure out the logistics on a daily or weekly basis. And you don't keep fighting about it.
And every time
killing the relationship.
But also every time you complain to him, he hears you hate my daughter.
Ugh.
And you do. And the daughter hates you.
That's right. I think that's about it.
And you are putting, he is in an impossible, I honestly, the person I have the most sympathy for in this scenario is him, to be honest, and the daughter. He didn't expect to become a single parent in the last year. And he has a 14-year-old daughter who is miserable, who feels rejected by her mother, and does not have any concept of how to cope with that. Mm-hmm. And he is just a dad who's trying to do his best.
Completely incapable of really understanding a teenage girl.
Of course. Why should... No one can understand.
That's true.
Girl.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, truly, her mother can't understand her. She chose not to live with her.
You're right.
They're either too similar or whatever it is.
Yeah.
No one can understand a teenager, let alone a teenage girl. And so what it is it's 4 years of madness until society tells you you're allowed to kick them out of your house at 18 and cross your fingers that they get into college or they get a job or they start computer programming or whatever they do. They start a startup or they get a drop at Starbucks, whatever it is. Mary Kay, exactly. But what you keep saying to him is you're failing everyone in your life. That's how he hears that argument that you're having with him. What happened to the fun? Guess what? He misses the fun too. It was a perfect setup. He got to spend a honeymoon week with his kids. He got to have his kids together. He got to feel like he wasn't a failure as a parent, that he and it, that they just had a good arrangement and that everybody was happy. And those days are over now. So now he's trying to spend twice as much time with an absolute maniac, because that's what a teenager is a maniac.
And a liar.
All of it. Mm-hmm. Even if she's the greatest kid the devil
lived, she's a liar.
She's a teenager. And a her psychopath. Brain's broken. She's there's hormones running through her body. She hates her friends. She loves her friends. He doesn't care about any of it.
She thinks she's a grown up.
What he cares about is her. Mm-hmm. But he can't get through to her. And bad news, good news, bad news. She is the most important person in his life.
Period.
And what I am not noticing, you're saying, oh, I don't want to miss my town. I don't want to leave my town. I love walking my dog here. But your kids are happy in their school and your kids are happy in their house and your kids live with their mother and your kids have all of that. And he doesn't know how to fill in that and also make you happy. Mm-hmm. So it's okay if this thing is broken. It's okay. Everyone's had a wonderful 4 years together. I'm not advocating for breaking up with him. I'm just saying it's okay that you feel neglected by him. He has another priority. It's his child in the same way that you thank God he's the kind of man that cares about his child more than he cares about his girlfriend. That makes him a good man. Mm-hmm. And you can either, you should have this global conversation that Kate's talking about and everyone should say how they feel, but it starts to feel like nagging when
maybe
you're having
wear like
the
a
same
bow
conversation.
Neck, just a bare shoulder if you're not going to do lingerie.
If you have a nice collarbone, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Make sure, I mean, for sure, you know, good lighting, make sure the hair is right and, the, you know, something cozy.
Set your hair the night
shoulder,
before.
Whatever. Yeah, just remind him what he's going to do.
Maybe
miss,
a princess
you know? You
cap
don't have to wear
sleeve.
A snowsuit or whatever. Exactly. But unless that's his thing. But the snowsuit slit.
But
who knows?
Yeah.
But
baby bib, snow bib.
Everybody's in an impossible situation here. And your children are your children. And it's your job to get them to the next station in life. And if that means giving up this wonderful, perfect, amazing girlfriend with the great house and the perfect dog, that's what he has to do. And it sucks. So either you can live with the arrangement the way that it is, and you can try to adjust that arrangement so that you're enjoying it a little bit more. So that everybody isn't saying, I only get one day a week. They're saying, I look forward to this one day.
But also I do feel like, and this is not a joke, I do feel like you should be having sex more. I think that would help.
Oh, I think she'd like to. I think that's what she's saying about her intimate, you know, she
totally
wants to have sex 4 times a week.
But that's a very like clear, I think, I don't have children, but that seems like it could be a clear, like, well, there is a solution to that, you know?
I'm well, who's she supposed to have sex
about
with?
The timeline of
she
the
can
year.
Only have sex with him once a week.
But that's enough.
No, she wants to have sex all the time.
But maybe they're not having it once a week.
Well, maybe.
I don't know.
I'm confused about the year and a half. But
yes,
I will say that if it is a year and a half until the daughter leaves to go somewhere, then that's going to go by like that.
Yes,
so you don't need to worry about that part. You just need to get through these next 18 months.
And this
you know?
Is like where this is. Listen, I mean, like, I don't know. Relationships are a lot of work, you know, and
you don't blend this. Here's why people blend their families. Because they can't afford to have separate families, mm-hmm. or because they need everybody to go to the same school, or they whatever. I'm not saying people don't want to live together, but the priority, unless these kids are not small, so that you know it's different when you're looking at 15 years of your life in front of you or whatever it is. But we're talking about a couple of years, and it sounds like everybody has their own house, and that your kids are happy in their school. So why would you upset that just because you would be happier living closer to your boyfriend. Half hour is really not very far. Mm-mm. I mean, I don't know. It sounds like your kids are in high school. Can't you go have a date night a couple of nights a week?
Yeah.
They should be in violin, tennis, slalom, cross country. Those kids should be busy as hell.
Yeah, they should be doing the cross country.
Watch King Richard and then get your inspiration from that.
With yes. There you go. Rifle range. Yeah. Yeah. We don't know the marksmanship, the cross country triathlon.
Oh, right.
The biathlon. They should be biathletes.
Gina
should be cross country
right?
skiing to his house.
No, she was archery.
Oh, archery. Mm-hmm. Yes. Sorry about that.
Brian's correct. Relationships are about compromise. And if you really think this is someone who could be your life partner, then everyone should also be mature enough to say, I think we need a break. And you should focus on her a little bit and see what's going on there. Maybe they need to be going to see a therapist together. I don't know. I don't know if people do that in Scandinavia, but she's having a hard time.
Yeah.
And it's a crucial age, 14.
Yeah.
Where she's going to start looking outside of her house for acceptance, intimacy, whatever it is. Everything gets all mixed up in the teenage computer brain.
Yeah.
And if there is not a steady, solid home life, that's what happens.
I would never want to be a teenager ever again.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Nope.
Nightmare. Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel so depressed after that letter.
I know, Rana.
I really do.
Well, here's the good news. We are going to give one of these letter writers something wonderful to brighten their day. And just by the act of giving, it might brighten ours.
Does Kate feel... Do you feel, Kate, that you didn't get a full turn? Do you want one more quick letter?
Look, you know, I've been begging to be on the free feed, abasing myself for years. So,
all right. I'm going to read one more letter and you're going to answer it quickly.
All right.
Okay. This is a machine gun scenario.
Great.
Brian, are you reading it or I'm reading it? It's the first one.
Oh, it doesn't matter to me. Would you like me to read it?
Please.
Rana and Brian, capital Y, I'm not sure. Todd here, he, him. My husband, Andrew, and I love you so incredibly much. Andrew's sister begged you to wish him a happy birthday last week. Still beside ourselves. Best gift ever. Oh, I remember this.
This is actually a great question for Kate.
Tooting my own horn here, but I'm a longtime Rana listener admirer and turned Andrew onto your podcast. We quickly developed a crush on you, Brian, capital Y. I like it now.
Oh, I've got all day to listen to this.
After a few months of listening, Andrew asked if I was a chip. I said, of course. After which he asked for my login and password on Patreon. I said, excuse me, I'm not your free pass. So he bought his own.
Well, I think that's appalling. I don't think you should even be with him anymore, but go on.
Maybe this lack of penny pinching is part of our problem. Here's our urgent question. We were crafting before we got your beautiful birthday wishes. Oh, our urgent question, we were crafting. I thought they meant they were like scrapbooking.
I know.
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool. Okay. Where should we live? Background. We're in our 30s. Met 5 years ago in New York City. I work remotely for a tech company and Andrew's a hairstylist. Free haircuts for you both. I'll take you up on that. I know you won't. In 2019, we thought to ourselves, hey, we aren't rich, but we make decent money. Let's invest in a home in the woods, a place to...
I'll get a haircut from Kate's gorgeous wife is who I'll get a haircut from.
Fab.
Yeah.
I didn't know that your wife a stylist, hairstylist?
Are you kidding? To the stars.
My God.
Rebecca Dumoulin.
Does she do buy one, get one free?
To the stars. She doesn't do a BOGO now.
Okay. A place to retreat to on the weekends. We quickly found the perfect little house for us. It's in a small Connecticut town about 1.5 hours north of the city. It sits on a few beautiful acres. Good for you. With a gorgeous pool, garden, and room for a pony. Or chickens, which we now have. We closed January 2020. Then the world changed. The salon shut down for Andrew, leaving us financially strapped and no reason to keep our apartment in NYC. We moved to Connecticut full time and surprise, we, quote, got the call and we were able to adopt Wyatt, the most perfect baby in the world and baby Steve's future admirer. Back to the question.
Let's leave Steve out of this.
NYC is opening back up and Andrew is working more and more in the city.
Steve picks her own friends.
I'm willing to go up to $80 for a haircut from your wife, Kate.
This is the guy who we said is going to have to do that woman's hair for that premiere that she has to go to, the woman from Worcester.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Back to the question, New York City is opening back up and Andrew is working more and more in the city. We even rented an apartment there where we currently stay part-time. We love NYC and never pictured leaving it, but babies are a bit expensive. Financially, we can't do both. Our friends, our people are in the city. And right now, our house is worth a lot more than when we bought it. But we're obsessed with this house, the wide open space and more comfortable living, which might be good for Wyatt. That said, it's in a conservative community. Gay dads with a kid, a chihuahua, and no friends in Trump 2024 country. Wow, really? But NYC, it's where the two of us prefer, but we'd be back to no space, no idea where to start with childcare, and our money won't go as far. I'll stop going back and forth and wait for your wisdom. Help us, Rana and Brian. You're our only hope. Todd and Andrew, they're very cute. They did a picture with the baby. P.S. Can't wait for the monthly cocktail subscription. Enjoying a Negron as I type, which is my excuse for any typos you find. I found none. Oh, and they're wearing matching clothes. Very cute.
It's a Christmas shot. They're in front of a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Wyatt is very cute.
Very cute. It's a nice little family they got.
Yeah, very sweet little family. Yeah. Kate, as a multiple homeowner, landowner, bicoastal, Brooklyn, NYC.
Do you have a place in New York, Kate?
Manhattan, of course. She
yes, but we sublet it. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, but they don't own in New York. Never mind. Sorry. Go ahead.
We do.
No, the letter writer.
They don't.
Oh, right. Yes, they don't. Yeah. Yes.
They own in Connecticut. They rent in New York.
Right. God, I wish I knew which part of Connecticut this is.
It's, I know.
I'm confused about the Trump 2024.
Me too.
Not to get stuck on that, but I think you should really try to keep both. I feel like Airbnb exists and maybe have that Connecticut house set up so you can very flexibly rent it out. And when you guys aren't there, you will want that house. And it sounds like you love it. So you have to try to make it work, I think. And, you know, that is something, I don't know if that's like, maybe there's some zoning. I know Airbnb can get tricky and depending on where you live, but even like a renter, like month to month or something. Yeah. I mean, I think you have to try to do both. It sounds lovely. I still don't understand which part of Connecticut is Trump 2024, but.
Well, who knows? It's Stamford or something, but it's sort of, it is and it isn't. Everything's in it. Yeah. Go over one time.
Try to keep it.
It's Connecticut.
Because I agree, what you're dealing with,
South Dakota,
two extremes. Like, you're dealing with the biggest city in America in the smallest amount of land, and then you're dealing with a remote country place. It's very difficult to choose one or the other, I would imagine. And I'm with you, Kate. Like, I don't think I would want to raise a family in New York without an escape route, you know, or without somewhere to go. And vice versa, like, I don't know. But on the other hand, I guess you could always.
Well, they're set up
rent when you're in the city. I don't know.
They're set up for Connecticut at the moment.
I mean, not to get nerdy.
The husband works in New York.
I feel like there are also tax implications about selling it and not buying somewhere else. Like, I don't know. Try to keep it.
Yeah.
That's like whatever you can do.
And also remember, whatever this fabulous little life is that you've set up for yourself, other people in New York would completely salivate and dream of that thing. So even if it's one weekend a month or two weekends a month that you decide to stay in New York, you know, what's going on is he's home with the baby in Connecticut. The other guy's going into New York to work. And then, so it's tough to negotiate that because the money's in New York and then the family's in Connecticut. But okay. So two weekends a month, you're going to be in New York and you do a, if you need the help because he's working on the weekend, you do a nanny share with another family at the, or something like this. But what is it? Care.com. There's all these websites where you can find people that want exactly what you want, where you say, this is exactly what I want. And then 10 people respond to you. But as Kate was saying, so make it that fabulous two weekends a month probably covers your rent in New York. Or covers your mortgage in Connecticut. And you just have to say, this is what we're going to do for 2 years. The baby's very little. But in 2 years, we have to decide. Is he going to go to preschool and then kindergarten eventually in New York? Or are we going to stick it out here? Well, you love Connecticut. You do up the house. It's terrific. And then you think, actually, we don't really love Stamford. We'd rather be in old Greenwich. I don't know. But give yourself that space, but try to make it work financially. I agree with that.
It is going to have, when the kid starts preschool or school, it's going to
get on those wait lists in New York now, by the way, just because to have the option.
Find a bucolic little Waldorf something or other in Connecticut. I mean, yeah. I don't know. You're going to have to figure it out once the kid starts school. Like,
yeah, the flexibility only exists now.
But,
yeah.
But enjoy this time when you can try to do both things. I think
so too. I think you should. Well,
and what about if the husband started to do a little hair in Connecticut? Is that crazy?
Exactly.
Rent a chair at a salon in town and bring a little NYC glam, you know, do half a day, do Saturdays, something like that. But do it at home. Sounds like you have a beautiful setup.
I know.
Probably if you put that out to your clients, you'd have two or three in a minute.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, Rana.
Wrap it up, Brian.
Who are we going to give a little gift to this week, Kate? Or do we want to give it to the city or the country, which is the one we just read?
Yeah, I think we know who's getting something. Yeah.
Do we want to give it to Scandi girlfriend or expat girlfriend? Or do we want to give it to Hernia?
Hernia. Yeah. Poor Hernia. You know what we're going to send to Hernia? There's a company called...
It's a beautiful name.
My Grandma's Chicken Soup.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this company before.
They're out of Marblehead, actually.
Are they really? It looks good.
The woman who owns it is from Marblehead. Some of it's a little hit or miss, meaning it comes with a holly and a this and a that. It's really a very nice package. And it is the kind of thing where if you're a single guy who's 26, it'll last him for a week and a half, all this food. And that is what we're going to send him.
I think that's great.
A little care package from us.
And also,
normally I'd send him a Zingerman's, but I don't know what he can eat and what he can't eat. So I feel like
it's been a minute since I've listened to it, but I remember as a kid, thinking the song Living with a Hernia, set to Living in America by Weird Al Yankovic, was so funny. So maybe you want to hear that a couple times.
No, but you don't want him to laugh.
That's true, but maybe it's offensive now. I don't know. I have not tracked how that song holds up.
Kate, do you want to stay for the cliffhanger? I'm going to read it right now.
Are you kidding me? How dare you? Yes.
I just asked because I wanted the compliment. That's why I asked. I was waiting for you to. And actually, you've probably noticed by now that we kick people up for the cliffhanger anyway.
I know.
Because we can't deal with the business of asking them if they're busy or if they're late.
It's exhausting.
Or if they're
not. And you know what, Rana? I just want to say one more thing straight to Kate Arthur's face, but through you.
Oh, okay.
You.
Yeah.
But through you.
Yeah.
Kate got a big, giant episode this week. That's what I want to say.
Oh, he's
Kate,
mad at me.
I hope you feel satisfied.
Wait, what does this mean?
He's mad at me because it took too long.
No, not at all. I'm just saying, like, not only did we, like, Kate, you got the full Ask Rana
experience,
and we got the full Kate Arthur experience.
Well,
what I mean is this was a great episode.
Yeah, it was something for it. We needed the beginning.
Exactly.
And you wanted the other
a very reciprocal
stuff.
Episode.
I did. And I really appreciate it. And I hope I won't repel you by saying, please have me back anytime.
Anytime. We adore you.
Of course.
There's no one better than to have like a cultural critic.
And I will say I did really miss not doing our Oscars this year. But we'll do it again next year.
But you know what? Yeah. If we were going to skip a year, this was the year.
Madam was hurt. Madam was hurt.
That it was skipped or that he wasn't invited for this?
Both.
I read Madam's article on Ariana DeBose, who I'm so glad she won. She was so phenomenal.
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually have some weird obey, so I'd like to read this cliffhanger
if that's okay with you too. It's fine.
Dear Ron and Brian, an esteemed guest, if applicable, absolutely is at this moment, won't be there to answer the question.
Right.
I am writing on behalf of my husband who finds himself in the uncomfortable position of being asked for a kidney he does not want to give up. This is a cliffhanger.
This is good.
Join. I mean, I'm not even, I shouldn't even read the rest. Join us on Patreon, patreon.com/askron. We have been married for 2 decades and are the parents of 2 teenagers. So whether this is slightly weird or totally bonkers, I feel like it's kind of our kidney. But I promise that I am not hiding any desire on his part to donate it. He is slightly more than the average amount of doctor averse. The requester is his older brother, about whom I could write pages. Sure. But I'll just share a few tidbits to give you the idea. In short, it really seems like he has a personality disorder, which could stem from the time he was left in a hospital for his congenital kidney problems, 2 hours away from home for a few weeks with no parent or family member present at the critical age of 5. Horrible.
Oh,
that is horrible.
That is abusive.
Knowing this makes us sad for the child that he was, but it doesn't make it easier to be around the middle-aged adult that he is now. Well put. While we don't know much about his life, the consensus is that he doesn't seem to have any close personal relationships or friends. He and the other five siblings live in another state. Wow, 6 altogether. Most of them near where they grew up. When we, or just my husband, is back in town, my husband takes all of them out to dinner. The brother will go and not talk much to anyone, but what he does say is always awkward and sometimes hostile. There have been plenty of dinners where the only thing he's offered is active scowling. We continue to invite him as it's something we are willing and able to do. One other sibling has a decent amount of money. And at one point, the brother zeroed in on that and asked for a few $1,000 to get laser vision correction surgery, LASIK. When she said no, he didn't speak to her for years and refused to attend any gatherings where she would be. Neither she nor anyone else was heartbroken over this. When my husband had a milestone birthday last year, I got a text from him asking if I was planning anything for it, and if there was anything he could, quote, do to help. A lack of relationship with him is such that I had no idea who the text was even from, though he included his name. Once we figured it out and I responded with the truth that no, I wasn't because of COVID and because we are not really birthday people, he was dismayed that I was not doing anything, quote, special, and offered again to come and, quote, help, which we figured meant that he would accept an all expenses paid trip to our area to be an unwanted guest. My husband and I joked that I should respond that my giving him a birthday blowjob was special enough for us. Parentheses, Brian's influence, ? But in the end, the desire to be done with the text conversation won out. So now my husband and 9 other people in the family have received a text from him that a medical liaison will be in contact to begin the process of testing for a kidney match. He has mentioned that his regular dialysis would eventually lead to him needing a living donor, but he had never directly asked how anyone would feel about donating a kidney, and no judgment there, but glad to have avoided that conversation. I'm not sure if this rules any of the others out, but my husband is the only non-smoker of the bunch. My husband has made the decision that he does not want to proceed with testing. He does not want to have major surgery and give up an organ. On this, he is not conflicted. I don't know, and I don't think he knows to what extent his relationship with his brother and who his brother is as a person plays a part in that. And I guess there's no way to know what he would do if he liked his brother and or his brother had people who depended on him. Do you have any thoughts on how to navigate refusing such a request, both inwardly in terms of what he tells himself about his decision to say no, interesting, and how he can phase it to others? He is struggling with articulating a reason for refusing, wondering if he even has one or needs one. We have no idea if a confrontation with the brother about it is in the future, but it seems best to be prepared. I'm not sure there are any answers to be had, but if there are, I feel like you two wonderfully smart and kind people will have them. In any case, I remain forever grateful for my absolute favorite pair of podcasters, Kiss Kiss, a she/her coffee subscriber, and Carriage House member. Please don't use my name.
That is a good question. I have to be honest with you.
That's
really good.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing, which is I have the New York Post, like the page 6 alerts that come. And Hilaria Baldwin is pregnant with their 7th child.
No!
Yes.
I'm going to vomit.
Are you joking? Through.
No.
Boy, does she know how to make people sick.
I didn't read the story, but my eyes widened at a certain point for people with sauna privileges, it's because it just shot across and then shot back. So,
and she already had that surrogate to ensure that she got the second girl.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, if we're going to close this loop on terrible behavior, how about Alec Baldwin's publicity tour after that shooting? Mm-hmm. God, you talk about someone who really is a
monster. Well, I wouldn't buy, this is a horrible thing to say, but I wouldn't put it past them to think that this is another ploy for sympathy.
Ugh.
Talk about a mixed up household.
Horrible. Yep. Kate, you're the best. Period. The end. We want to have you back the minute you're ready.
What's that Quaker chair behind you? I've been wondering.
It's like an Adirondack chair that Rebecca got from someplace. There were like supply chain issues with it and it was delayed for months and then it arrived.
And what color is that room?
This room is like a kind of blue green.
Kate, if she cuts my hair, I'll send her an 8x10 sign so she can put it up in her salon.
Which, who did she do for the Oscars this year?
Jennifer Todd, who's on the Board of Governors. She's a producer. Yeah. And she's produced the Oscars. Envelope Gate. She's big time.
Was her Oscars?
Was one of her Oscars. Yeah. And then the next year. But yeah.
She does everybody.
Kate, you're wonderful. All right. Rana, you're
Kate,
wonderful.
Love you guys. We love you. Brian,
please
we love
read.
You.
Kate Arthur is the editor at large of Variety. You can follow her.
Follow her
by
on
the
Twitter.
Way, and if you're a housewife stan, she's follow. The one. She's the one who brings legitimacy to that table, too.
You're not kidding.
So follow
you're
her.
Not kidding.
Kate Arthur.
But Kate is a great follow if you're a person.
She is.
Kate is what's right with Twitter.
I totally agree with you. Twitter. And what's right about, I don't know, finding something meaningful and interesting about things that people just like the housewives that people just kind of shrug off.
She's a legitimate entertainment.
She really is. She really is.
Which is a dying breed. I hate to say
totally
at
agree.
This moment
totally
where
agree.
Everybody's allowed to think one tweet makes them a journalist.
Yep. And her interviews are spectacular.
Due diligence with Kate is through the roof. It's one of my favorite things is when something really gets my hackles up.
And you go to Kate.
I'll text Kate straight to Kate. Say, what do we know about this?
Yep.
What do we know about this? And she
thank
always,
you guys. Yeah,
and she never answers me either. She always sort of says, oh, I have a piece coming out.
Well,
about
yeah, she's
it,
getting paid to answer.
I'll call you. You know, she doesn't, no paper trail.
Right.
No, not true.
No free
it's
advice.
Not true.
All right, Kate, we love you.
We adore you.
I love your hair today. It's so cute
me
and
too.
Fun.
Thank
usually you.
You
have more a wetter look. I love how curly and fun.
Rebecca has talked me. She's like, your hair looks crazy when it's wet. Like on, you know.
I love this curl. Look at your gorgeous natural curl.
Thank you.
Unbelievable.
Thank you so much. Anyway,
okay.
This was a pleasure.
Give
Bye.
Rebecca our love.
Will do.
Don't
Bye, guys.
Tell Madam that we did this, or he's going to get upset.
I already told him.
Oh, no. Shit. He's going to find out when it comes out next week.
I know.
To be continued. All right. XO. Kiss.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of 4Play.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo! Let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to 4Play Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.